Hey, Donna, Corrado sent, when I talked to him and when we went back and forth with some emails before he left, he told me to keep Jana apprised of that particular matter. So, that's up to, and then.
I think I realized that that's the steering committee in February.
Huh?
Would be the steering committee that February.
No, this is related to the superintendents and the guns and the mental health for the children.
Sorry. Okay. I didn't mean.
But
Okay.
no, it's okay. And
Yeah.
then I think Alejandro missed the awards thing for Palm Springs for the Black History Month, which was already on there. He sent another email telling me, asking me to add that, but it was already on there.
Oh, yeah. We were just going over the agenda, Jana, and I was curious what the what said superintendents, supervisors thing. Then I realized that not superintendents. I was looking at supervisor and I was like, what is this? Now I realize
She's
it was
referring to the staff
the
meeting.
Guns and Roses thing. I feel sorry for them.
I will call the meeting to order at 5:03 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I motion to approve the agenda.
Is there a second? Is that Carmina?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there a motion to approve the meetings from the December 7th meeting? Did I say that right? I'm sorry. The meeting minutes from December 7th, 2021. Is there a motion?
A motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Carmina, second.
Okay, we'll move on to public comments at this time. Comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take actions on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Andrea, are there any public comments right now?
There are no public comments.
Okay, so we'll move on to the next part. I can't see it. Okay, so we'll move on to old business. Number one, funding request update. I believe the information is on page 7. Does anyone have any questions regarding?
Actually, I had taken that off because there's nothing really to update except we have one grant request that we're having a Zoom meeting with them on Thursday, and it's Olive Crest, and they are requesting $153,000, I think, towards the operating of their new clinic in Palm Desert, as well as staffing, mental health staffing.
So, okay. You said that's for $53,000?
Yeah, I got it here. I can't remember the amount. I apologize. Hold on.
It's okay.
If anybody wants to jump in, tell me. Erica, do you know offhand?
If not, it's fine. Okay.
I have my folder somewhere. Correct. Never mind. No, it's not in either. I'll find it.
It's okay. We can move on.
It's $123,000.
$123,000. Thank you.
And some change. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And the grant payment schedule is it on page 7, I believe, right? And does anybody have any questions?
I have a question, Carmina.
Okay.
Maybe this question is probably for Chris. Just curious, the red for total payments prior years, can you remind me what the red means or is reflecting?
I had trouble hearing that. I'm sorry, Carmina. If you could repeat.
Chris, I'm just curious for the on the section that says total paid prior years. Can you please remind me what the red is, or what is it reflecting, please?
The red? Oh, under the total paid prior year, is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yes, total paid.
All right. Yeah. So that what that column means, you'll see that column and then the column to the right where it says paid current year. So the prior year, all of the items in red are payments that are made during this current fiscal year. But the ones in the prior year's column are for grants that were approved in a prior year.
Oh, okay.
The so as an example, if you were to look under the current year column down at the 69,000, that's a payment on the current year grant of 154,000 for CVVIM. And then all the other payments are on grants that were approved in prior years. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And they're still open? Most of them are still open. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions? No. Hearing none, we'll move on to program updates. Number one, progress and final reports update. I believe the information is located on pages 8 through 19. Does anyone have any questions or would like to ask questions?
I don't have any questions.
I have a question. The number is not on, sorry, for the first grant report from One Future Coachella Valley. Their total proposed residents served is 40. The number isn't on this report, but it was on our board packet and I closed out of it. So sorry, I can't give you the exact number of how many students have been applying to the committee. However, when we get down to the issues and barriers, there's like no issues or barriers that they've encountered, any course correction, there's no course correction. If I remember correctly, they weren't necessarily close to 40. I'm assuming by them saying no course correction and no barriers, they will meet their target by 2023?
When they mentioned there's no barriers or course corrections, it's during that particular period. So it was during this time period of, what was it covering? It was covering March 1st, 2021 through August 31st, 2021. So everything is on track. They're going smoothly. They've got everything that they listed with their proposed goals. Everything's on track. So they did not encounter any problems or barriers, and no course corrections were necessary.
On page 11, that last number, it says progress on the number of district resident service 2000. That's not what we had on our. Can you just explain where that number comes from? If you know, you may not know right now. I may be getting their numbers confused.
Yeah, it could be. I'm just wondering what that number. I'd have to look into that a little bit more, Director Borja, if that's okay. I'll get back to you on that one.
That'd be great.
Okay.
So we saw the last board meeting and the numbers here, they're just not adding up, and I'm just curious where they do add up. That was my question.
I think maybe they were looking at what, but I will clarify, when they're thinking 2000, they're looking at the total number of Black and African American students within the three school districts that could be applying for scholarships. So it's not just specific to Desert Highland Gateway, but it's all three school districts of anybody who wants to, who would apply. But I'll clarify that number.
Yeah, and maybe clarify what their definition of served is for the African-American community. It might be different than what our definition of served might be.
Yeah, well, that's our phrase that we put in there. So we probably need to relook at the
what serve means. It's a good point.
Thank you. And then my next question is regarding the Martha's Village and Kitchen grant. I just need some help understanding, and I apologize because I was trying to make sense of it in my head as well. Page 17 under goal one, I couldn't figure out the math of like beds served. That first and second little paragraph, it said provide 10 beds, serve 40 additional clients, resulting in 365,000 sheltered bed nights annually.
That is the goal for the whole grant term. So they do have 10 beds and they're hoping to serve again additional 40 clients, but it depends on how a shelter night. So it could be these additional 40 clients over the year could spend a numerous amount of shelter nights. What happened to my here? They could be there for 30 days. They could be there for a week, 2 weeks. So they count the shelter nights that each individual is there. So they're looking at the most likely they'll be resulting in 3,650 shelter bed nights during this grant term. That people will be spending the nights there. Does that make sense? So they have 10 beds. They're going to alternate, you know, 40 additional district residents will be utilizing those 10 beds for a total of 3,650 total shelter nights during the year. So you could have 10 beds and maybe, you know, one person may stay in that bed for 30 nights. You know, it just depends on what kind of wraparound services they need, or if they're just there on a real quick temporary basis, or they're there on a longer basis. So they count shelter bed nights, and I think that's how they have to report it to HUD as well, is how many shelter bed nights, rather than just the actual number of individuals, but how many nights they stay in the shelter. You want me to clarify that with a little bit more?
I wouldn't mind. It doesn't have to be right now. I'm just like, the math was very confusing in my head, and I'm assuming there's probably information that I don't know about in those 3,650 sheltered bed nights. Like, they may be including every single bed that they have, and they have 100 beds, right? So I that's what I assumed, but I didn't want to assume it.
Well, with our grant, they were providing an extra, they were going to provide an extra 10 beds that would accommodate additional district residents, 40 more district residents. So, because they're still serving a lot of residents from the West Valley rather than the East Valley as well. So they've been an influx from the whole Coachella Valley.
In my head, if I multiply that, it's like 365 days a year times 10 bed, but those 40 additional,
I'll get a clarification from Lyndon and get back to you.
Thank you. Not urgent, just curious as I was going through some of the numbers that I just put in.
And just an FYI, Andrea lost internet connection. That's why we lost the packet.
Oh, I thought it was mine. Also, it was reduced. I'm like, what happened?
It's okay.
That was my question.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions? Carmina, you have any questions?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to grant funding requests for consideration to forward to the board the first grant, number 1301, UCR Regents of the University of California at Riverside, community-based interventions to mitigate psychological trauma and mental health disparities in immigrant communities in the COVID-19 pandemic, for $113,514. Strategic plan goal strategy alignment is goal number 3, proactively expand community access to behavioral and mental health services. Strategy 3.7 also, collaborate and partner with community providers to enhance access to culturally sensitive behavioral and mental health services. will be speaking on this grant.
As you can tell by the staff report that they are building on an existing project of Stop COVID-19. They want to implement restorative circles. And you can see where what the project will do, 1 and 2 and 3, and what our funding is going to be utilized for. Dr. Ann Cheney and Dr. Evelyn Vasquez from UCR are on the, hopefully they didn't get bounced off. But they are here as well. If anybody had any questions or wanted to make some comments, and they can maybe explain a little bit more if you need further explanation of what this grant is for. Oh, Ange says, we're here. Okay.
Does anyone need, does anyone have any questions?
Question again, because I don't want to assume. On page 23 of the grant, it mentions that people have relocated out of Oasis Mobile Home Park. Are they all in one place and you're going to meet them there, or are they scattered around and you're hoping that people come to you?
Anne or Evelyn, could you answer that? Are you there?
Donna, I think because Andrea's not here, they don't have the capability.
She's the one that.
If you like, you can put the what you'd like to say in the chat and I'll read it from there, since we don't have the capability of you.
And I think that what it is, it's those three communities, the Latinx farm workers, the Putepecha, and then the recently relocated Oasis Mobile Home Park residents. I don't know where they were relocated. Alejandro, do you know a little bit more where?
She said, I'm going to read the comments real quick before Alejandro answers. Okay, just so I don't fall behind on the comments. But it says that, yes, she can. Their promoters will help. It says our promoters will help us to reach out to that community. And says we will engage the Oasis Park community that is in the process of being relocated.
Process.
We will go to them. Some still haven't yet been relocated.
My only question is if we know where they're being relocated to. Is it different mobile home parks, Mountain View Estates? Is it just wherever people can afford? Thank you.
Supposedly I'm the host, so I can let them chat.
It says many of the relocated Oasis residents are at the Mountain View development.
Okay.
I'm curious, is that where they're going to be receiving services?
She said, in her comment, she said that they can go to wherever they are.
Oh, okay. Good. Wonderful.
We can apparently get them to speak, but because I'm the host apparently, but I don't know how you engage them. I don't do this often, so maybe somebody can lead me through it.
At the bottom of your screen.
At the bottom. Yeah.
Participants. You can click on participants, and then you'll get the list of panelists on one end.
And attendees, okay.
If you go
allow to talk. Oh.
Hello.
Okay, I'm making everybody allowed to talk. How's that?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dr. Vasquez, are you there as well?
Yes, hello everyone. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, so just briefly, and I'll let Dr. Vasquez, this is her effort, so I'll just add that we are proposing to work with our network of promotores that we've worked with before that are part of UCR Health, our UCR Center for Health Disparities Research, and they have connections with the Oasis Trailer Park community, including we have a promotora that lives within that community. And so she would be our individual who would really be connected and help us connect to members of that community in particular, who then would be engaged in the services either in person or virtually. And I'll let Dr. Vasquez add to that.
Yes, thank you so much, Anne. We just wanted to clarify that for this project, we will build capacity with 6 community health workers known as promotores, and we will recruit 2 promotores for each of the 3 communities that we included in our grant. These communities are the migrant Latinx farm workers, the Purépecha indigenous group from Michoacán, Mexico, and as well as the recently relocated ACES Mobile Home Park residents.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else have any questions?
Do we know where they were they were relocated to? Are they scattered, or they, as a community, do they all go to one another area?
Donna, it's Greg. So
Hi, Greg.
Not a whole bunch of them. I mean, very few have been relocated so far, but the vast majority are being relocated at the Mountain View Estates. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and what my understanding is this is many years ago with Duros, that it's a similar pattern in relocation of this community to, just as Greg was saying, to the Mountain View Estates, which we have a lot of collaborations in that community.
Okay, thank you.
Does that help, Director Borja?
Yes, thank you. That answers the
question. Okay. Does anyone else have any questions about this grant? Hearing none, I'll ask if there's a motion to approve.
Yes.
Okay, is there a second?
I second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Sorry. Okay, the motion is forwarded to the board for final approval. We'll move on to number 2, which is located on pages 49 to 90, grant number 1303, California State University San Bernardino Philanthropic Foundation, Nursing Street Medicine Program for $54,056. Strategic plan goal and strategy goal number 2, proactively expand community access to primary and specialty health care services. Strategy number 2.2, provide funding to support an increase in the number of clinics and needed programs in the geographically targeted markets and the days and hours that they can operate. Who will be giving us information on this grant?
Yeah, I will. So you're familiar with the street medicine program, as this was approved a year ago, and this would be a continuation of their project program. The funding will again support faculty members that will supervise the nursing students at the street medicine sites, and then some stipends for the nursing students, and then also supplies that are needed to offer direct care. And there's more information in the application summary, and Diane Vines is with us as well, if anybody has any specific questions or comments.
Does anyone have any questions?
I would just like to see how pleased we are to be back and to be allowed to be here.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions?
I don't have any questions. Just want to say thank you for the work you and for continuing to want to be partners with the Desert Healthcare District.
Armina, do you have anything to say, or you have a question?
I don't have any questions, but I just wanted to thank you, Diane, for supporting me. Well, having the nurses and working with them and in collaboration with the Desert Healthcare District. So thank you for your work that you're doing.
Thank you. They love it. The students are enjoying it, and it's really a very wonderful, rewarding experience for them.
Thank you very much.
Yvette.
Is there a motion to approve?
Yvette, Dr.
Yes.
Chin has a public comment. She just typed it in the chat.
Oh, okay. Let me read.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm able to speak. If it's okay if I speak.
Yes.
So I just want to speak, just as indicated in the chat, in favor of this. Really exciting work and really exciting to see Cal State San Bernardino continue this work. And also, Diane, I'm hopeful that we can collaborate now with the Coachella Valley Free Clinic, which is in partnership with Coachella Valley Volunteers of Medicine. So really exciting that you're doing this.
Yes, and I tried to speak on behalf of your grant for the same reason. Work with you.
Yeah, so I will be in touch.
Okay, thank you.
I just love it.
Thank you. So is there a motion to approve this grant?
To approve the grant.
Is there a second?
Fermina, second.
Okay, and I vote in favor also, so we'll move it forward to the board for final approval. We'll move on to number three. The information is located on pages 91 to 119. Grant number 1302, Vision to Learn, Palm Springs, Desert Sands, and Coachella Valley School Districts for $50,000. Strategic plan goal and strategy is goal number 2, proactively expand community access to primary and specialty healthcare services. And also strategy 2.3, provide funding support to community organizations providing expanded mobile primary and specialty care services. Will someone be speaking on behalf of this grant? Donna, will you be speaking?
Okay. Sure. So Vision to Learn is new to Riverside County. They worked out an MOU with Riverside County Board of Education Superintendent to provide mobile vision screenings to students that cannot otherwise afford screenings, and as well, if they do need glasses, they supply them with free glasses and any other kind of follow-up if they see any other kind of eye disease that might need more of a specialist. They refer them to a specialist that they know, and they also guarantee if they lose or break the glasses, the children can get a replacement pair at no cost. So we do have Ann Hollister, who is the president of Vision to Learn, as well as Nora McClellan with us. If you had any other questions, I think the application is explains a lot of what they're going to be doing, and we're excited to be a new partner with them and go from there.
Does anyone have any questions?
I don't have any questions. I'll just say that I really appreciated reading some of like the facts and statistics on the grant, things that I didn't know about. I appreciate the work that you're all doing to try and get as many of our young people services they need, including vision. Some of those statistics were like really hard, but it also reminded me that when I was in school, in elementary school, we had like a hearing test and a vision test. So that's kind of what I'm envisioning here. Please correct me if I'm wrong. That was like a very long time ago. And I'm sure things have changed. I also appreciate that your grant, like you've been able to get private funding and public funding for this. And it looks like it'll reach students across all three of our school districts. So definitely appreciate all of the work behind this particular grant, all of them, but in going through this one that I hadn't seen before, I appreciate it.
And I did allow someone to talk. I don't know who it was, but.
Yes, this is Damian Carroll. I'm Vision to Learn's national director. Thank you everyone for your consideration of this grant. We are so thrilled to be working in the Inland Empire after many years working in LA County and up in the Bay Area, San Diego. We found kids all over the state who are in need of these services. And right now is such a critical time coming out of the COVID school closures. A lot of kids are behind academically, and a vision issue will continue to hold them back. And we know how to find them and help them and get them the glasses they need. So I'm happy to answer any questions you have, but thanks everybody, and we're thrilled to be considered.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the grant?
I motion to approve this grant.
Okay, thank you. And I also vote in favor, so we will be moving this on to the board for final approval at the next board meeting. Now we'll move on to committee member comments. Is there anyone that has a committee member comment?
I do. In our October 12th meeting, we had gotten a grant report back from, and I always forget their name. The grant was called like the Regional Immigrant Emergency Relief Fund for the Coachella Valley. It was in partnership with Alianza. The grant report we got back was not detailed at all, and I had asked for it to be rewritten. Is there an update of when we'll see that? I was hoping at the last program committee meeting. I wasn't here, but I didn't see it on the agenda.
I'll have it for you in February.
Thank you, Donna. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Are there any other committee member comments at this time? Hearing none, we'll adjourn the program committee meeting at 5:33 and move directly into the foundation meeting. I'm sorry, guys, I'm having trouble with my throat today. It's not cooperating. So I will call to order the foundation meeting at 5:34 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I motion to approve.
No second? I second. We'll move on to meeting minutes. Is Carmina still on or did we lose her?
I'm here, yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if we had lost you. We'll move on to the meeting minutes, which are located on pages 3 to 6. Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes as is?
A motion to approve.
Okay. We'll move on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. A public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Donna, do you know if there's any public comments at this moment?
I think we have
one.
No? I don't see any.
No.
Okay, so hearing none, we'll move on to old business. Number one, the grant payment schedules, which are located on pages 7 and 8 of the packet. Does anyone have any questions regarding the payment schedules?
Sort of. We were going to hire someone for the collaborative. Have we done that already?
Yes.
A program assistant? Yeah. Individual just started yesterday.
Ooh, can you tell us who it is?
The individual's name is Sergio Rodriguez. He was working with, I'm sorry.
Hello, Nina.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Alejandro. Is he there as we speak?
No, I gave him the day off because he'll be working Saturday and Sunday. So at the testing and vaccination events that we have this weekend. So yes, I'm very happy.
What is his name again, Alejandro?
It's Sergio Rodriguez.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Will he be joining our board meeting at the end of the month?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
great. Thank you.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Thank you. So is there any more questions? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to number two, Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative. A, vaccination, education, and outreach. Are you going to speak on this, Alejandro?
Yes, I am. Director Perezgo, or Vice President Perezgo, I'm sorry. Yes, so we continue our efforts. You know, right now it seems like testing and vaccine have kind of flip-flopped. You know, prior to this last couple of weeks, there have been more folks seeking testing. There have been, you know, well-documented, you know, in social media and media in general, the long wait times that folks are experiencing and trying to secure testing. There are, you know, the school districts are providing testing, but, you know, they seem to be overrun. Even the county curative tests, testing sites that are at the Indio Fairgrounds, the UCR Palm Desert Center, and also at the airport seem to be really extremely busy. So we have, you know, scheduled testing pop-up events in partnership with Desert Sands Unified School District. Last Sunday, the second, or two Sundays ago, I'm sorry, the second of January, we had our first vaccine testing event where we were able to test 1,028 individuals within a 4-hour window. We would have done more, but we had to go home at one point. And I had to drive down to the curative site to get more testing supplies because we simply ran out. So that was really good to see. That was because the first school district that went back into session after the winter break was Desert Sands Unified School District. So we did have a lot of parents, a lot of students, and they're also open to the community. So we also did have a lot of community members that were very happy to wait an hour and a half to get tested because they couldn't find an appointment anywhere in the Valley. This last Sunday, we did the same event at the same location, and we were able to test 743 individuals, you know, at that site. So currently we are working with the school districts to schedule another series of pop-up testing events, and also with some of our community partners in both in the East and the West Valley to ensure that we are also helping with this, you know, huge need that currently exists for testing. We are only doing at our sites the PCR testing. We do not have the capacity to do the rapid test because of that 15-minute window that individuals have to wait for their test results. But we're focusing solely on PCR testing. Those test results right now are being given back to the individual within 48 hours, either via text message or email. So right now the response is really good from the community. And we are also, we have 6 vaccination events this week. Currently we have our team at Desert Sands Unified School District, and we have 235 individuals scheduled. And normally we see an additional 100 to 150 individuals that come as walk-ins without being pre-registered. We do have a couple of vaccination events for boosters for our farm worker community. This Thursday and Friday will be at Balk Farms in Thermal, and we'll be once again providing vaccines and educational materials to the farm workers. And we also have another vaccination event out in West Shores in partnership with Borrego Health, and that would be this Saturday from 10 to 2, and we have quite a significant amount of community members already registered for those events. So we do have a team up calendar, and I'll share that with our board, where we have all of our testing and vaccination events. And that'll be one of Sergio's first tasks, is to ensure that that calendar is up to speed and that it has all the registration links, all the flyers and information. Also, you know, with some changes happening at the federal level, we were notified by the County Department of Public Health that now individuals that are seeking the Pfizer booster vaccine no longer have to wait 6 months. Now it's a 5-month window after their second shot. And now the vaccine the booster vaccine age has dropped down from 16 to 12 for Pfizer. So we're working to implement those changes with our partners, which are Borrego Health and the Department of Public Health. So, so far so good. We continue to, you know, create partnerships with the school districts, which seem to be the biggest event so far. We have a lot of children coming by. And at our last event at Palm Desert Charter Middle School, wanted to report that we did have about 8 demonstrators, anti-vaxxers, that came out. But at each of our events, now that since we had an incident not too long ago, now we do have school district patrol that normally comes with us at any time that we have a vaccination or testing event. So they were able to defuse the situation. And obviously the new law that took into place starting January 1st about, you know, demonstrators and anti-vaxxers that need to be X amount of feet away from a testing or vaccination site. So that also helped alleviate some of those problems. But right now we're just trying to address the testing need gap that currently exists in our valley.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
does anyone?
One last thing I failed to mention, I'm sorry. Will, Dean and myself, we did finalize the scoring on our PSAs for Cathedral City High School. And we have some really, really neat PSAs that will be professionally done. So we partnered with the Health Academy and the Digital Academy at Cathedral City High School, Palm Springs High School, and Desert Hot Springs High School. So Cathedral City High School was the first one to finish. So we graded, and we have a first, second, and third place winners for freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors. And next week, Will and myself will be going down to Cathedral City High School to give to announce the winners and give them their gift cards for winning. And then as soon as we have the first, second, and third place winners for Palm Springs High School and Desert Hot Springs High School, we'll have an all-district first, second, and third place winners. The Palm Springs Unified School District has told us that they will be presenting some of these PSAs during their board meetings and also at the Mary Pickford Theater before some movies. So we're very excited about that. And once we have those all district finalists, I'll invite some of our board members to participate in the judging. So so we'll be able to have those winners. So that's pretty much it.
Alejandra, I just wanted to add really quick, congratulations to Cathedral City. I'm an alumni of Cathedral City High School, so that's exciting to hear.
It is. They did such a good job. They were really creative. Some of them created jingles. Some of them created like hashtag get vaxxed. You know, it was just really, really creative. And that's what we wanted to do is do the peer-to-peer communication and have the students, you know, talk about, you know, what the importance of getting tested, the importance of getting vaccinated, the importance of continuing, you know, those precautionary measures of wearing your mask, social distancing, washing your hands, et cetera. So each grade level had a different topic that they had to focus on. So we were very specific on what they were doing. So very, very impressive of some of the work. And for them is also a learning experience, you know, dealing with this, you know, with this virus and also how to create a PSA, and then the Digital Academy will help them create professionally done PSAs of the first, second, and third place winners.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I believe Greg has his hand raised.
Let's see.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on the testing. Just to let you know that the county will be opening and extending hours on testing sites at Indio. Additionally, we're adding the James O. Jesse Center to meet up with the demand, because Alejandro's right, we're seeing more demand for testing now than we are actually vaccines. So just to give you that heads up, we'll be sending out a flyer hopefully tomorrow with all the new locations and times.
Thank you, Greg. And yeah, we're also looking for partnerships with just locations so we could have fixed sites. TODEC, we're normally doing Mondays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And now they've extended it from Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays from 8 to 5. So once again, Sergio will be updating our online calendar, and we'll have flyers attached to any of those events. So you could download the information and register or guide people to those locations.
One of the things Dr. Zendel mentioned earlier today at a different meeting was the ability to sign up to get an at-home test sent to you. Whenever that's available, I'm sure you already thought about it, but can we just like make it into a flyer and send it home with people? Like, these are the ABCs of how you register with the federal government to get your at-home test. That might be helpful for some families.
We, President Borja, we did sign up for that that federal program, and we'll be getting 2,000 at-home testing kits. But I did receive an email last week that the supply chain, obviously because of the high demand, just last couple of weeks has been delayed. So as soon as we do have those 2,000, those 2,000 testing kits, we will make an announcement and figure out a way to distribute them either at an event or, you know, through our community partners that are part of the collaborative.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Does anyone else have any comments or questions for Alejandro? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Thank you, Alejandro, for all your hard work. And I look forward to meeting Sergio soon. Move on to number three, advancing the district's role in addressing the healthcare needs of Black communities in the Coachella Valley update. Part A is One Future Coachella Valley Scholarship Fund. Do we have an update on it, or is it just there as a placeholder?
No, the second one is a placeholder because the Borrego did not meet last Friday, so we're still waiting for some other information from them. But the Black and African American Healthcare Scholars Advisory Committee meeting met on last Thursday, and the scholarship update that they had, all total 16 applications that came in. A couple of them were ineligible because they are out of the area, and they could only award 10. So they have 6 that were cleared and 4 that they're working on right now. And they did have additional students that applied, so they are reviewing them and looking at all the applications to see if they qualify. And their goal is to be completed by next week. So we'll have a complete list, and they will be announcing it on next Monday. And that those that weren't selected are going to be guided to additional support services and other scholarship opportunities. And they are working, One Future is working with Will Dean. So we're going to be doing either a celebration event, as well as Will is going to be interviewing them, why they wanted to apply, why they're going into healthcare, what's the motivation for coming back to their community. So more to come, but it's on track and it's doing well. And we will have probably at least 10 scholarship recipients.
Thank you. Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Donna?
Donna, it's Karina. I'm not sure if you said this before, but when is the event taking place?
It hasn't been determined yet.
Oh, okay.
But they will do, but we will definitely keep you guys in the loop.
Thank you.
You know, with COVID, we don't know if it's going to be a virtual event or actually be an in-person one. We're hoping to be an in-person, but we'll see.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then the information from Borrego Health, or do we have a date that we're expecting that information, or is it just whenever?
They were meeting every Friday with the community members, but we didn't get any information this past Friday. So we are still going back out to them and asking if they have, when, if they'll be meeting this Friday with the community. And Megan has got a couple of requests into them as well for some specific data and some numbers. So we're still working on getting those numbers, which we'll be very happy to report out when we get them.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Does anyone else have any questions? No. Hearing none, we'll move on to number four, Behavioral Health Initiative update. This would be, I'm sorry, your name, Jenna? Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. The Behavioral Health Initiative work is continuing to advance. Our working groups have been meeting consistently and are really at the point where we're focused on refinement of some of the strategic ideas that are coming out of those working groups. Those ideas will be refined and presented in the February 7th steering committee meeting, but an additional area of focus related to that is that we did generate, beginning today, an actual behavioral health survey that went out to Coachella Valley behavioral health service providers. That survey is really to help make sure that the strategies that are coming out of the working groups are actually aligned with what the actual behavioral health landscape looks like related to expanding or extending service hours at provider locations in terms of days of the week, evening, weekend hours. So we're trying to gather that information to really find out where our providers are landing related to that. If they're not able to currently expand hours, helping us understand what's contributing to that. So again, it helps with the refinement of actual strategies that might be helpful in resolving that. Another aspect of the survey is also looking at mobile unit services serving the Coachella Valley from a behavioral health perspective, and also telehealth or virtual health behavioral health service opportunities. And again, gathering the information about what types of inhibitors might be in place that's preventing that also expansion of that type of service deliverable. And then also workforce expansion information being gathered related to behavioral health from a perspective of, are they utilizing interns to assist with the build out of their workforce? And also on the other side of that, when they actually are hiring behavioral health team members, what are they utilizing to promote retention? So what are the things like, for example, are they covering license renewal fees? Are they covering and the cost of continuing education requirements? So it's that kind of information that we will look at the trends that come out of this survey request. The providers that we are forwarding this to have until January 24th to get that information back to us, and then we'll be able to present more of a detailed report on the actual trends. And of course, this information will be shared with our working groups so that we can absolutely tailor our strategies to what is actually happening and where those opportunities might exist to better serve our Coachella Valley community. I've already started to get responses today, so that was good. Sometimes surveys go out there into the ether and disappear, but I think it's indicative of the actual commitment and dedication and how fortunate we are in this community of people really viewing this as important and that they really want to help in any way they can.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Jenna? Jenna, sorry.
Question. Jenna, Carmina, I'm just wondering, are those results going to be shared at the next board meeting?
We should have those results. We'll look at the trending. I plan to also conduct some reminder follow-ups just once I'm able to really look at, you know, the tracking I'm keeping of who we sent it to and who's responded. So, but absolutely, I mean, the whole point is for us to be able to share that information.
Okay, wonderful, thank you, because that's in place with our strategic plan for behavioral health. Wonderful, thank you, Jana.
Karen, do you have any questions? No?
No, thank you.
Okay. I just have a comment. I'm very happy at the progress that the behavioral health initiative is going. I'm very excited to hear the outcome of the surveys and what therapists are saying in the area or psychologists. I know that me personally, with some of my patients, we're really struggling with finding providers. So it'll be interesting to see how this will play out to where it will benefit our community. Thank you very much for your hard work. And we'll move on to committee member comments. Does anyone have any comment? I'm sorry. Does anyone have any comments?
Just for the staff, if there ever is something that you all think our voice and our network might be helpful with, feel free to let the CEO know, to let us know, right? Like, I'm assuming that's the stream of communication that has been set up. But please, if there are events that you all need volunteers at, if there's things that you will need extra hands in, Will does a really good job with social media, and that's how I find out a lot of like what's happening, and just easy to like screenshot or whatever and send out. But literally anything that's happening that you all think our networks can help with, please let us know. Like, whenever you need us, we're around. It's, I feel, part of our duties.
Yes.
So that people understand your district.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else have any more comments? Hearing none, I'll adjourn the meeting at 6:00 p.m. Our next scheduled meeting is for February 8th, 2022. Thank you all for your time and your information. Have a good night.
Thank you very much for everything.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.